of 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16, and we're going to read verse number 13 for our text tonight as we speak on the subject being strong. That's 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 13. The Bible in this place says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." Be strong is the title that we've given this message. Last Sunday evening, I preached a message entitled, "Being Strong in These Last Days," because I believe we're living in the last days. It seemed like they're right there in front of us. But that message was about King Josiah. One of the points we brought out was about King Josiah. These are all Old Testament men. He was only 8 years old when he was established as being a king of Judah. Any 8 year olds in the congregation? I don't think so. How old are you, Josh? BJ, how old are you? BJ, how old are you? Can you tell? I can't see that. 14. You're more than 8. Yeah, okay. Wow. David is another man I mentioned. Pardon me, Daniel. When he was taken to Babylon, I don't know how old he was. I imagine that Daniel was about the age of BJ when he was taken. That's pretty young. And you say, a young man can't stand for God at all, but Daniel did. So you can be a young person and stand for the Lord. I also mentioned David. And how old was David when he killed Goliath? About how old was he? About 17, 18. He was a young man. He had never killed a person before, but he had killed a lion and a bear. And he says, "Goliath shall be just like one of those." Right? David wasn't seeking fame for himself. He was seeking for the Lord to be glorified. Before a nation of Israel that had turned their backs upon the Lord and ran from Goliath. Then we preached about Joshua and Caleb, who were also young men that wanted to do as God directed them to do. Yet the people were afraid when they saw the strength of the people of the land. Here, Moses had sent out these 12 spies. Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that came back and said, "We can take the land." But 10 of those spies said, "We can't take them. It's just too, they're too strong for us. They got more armament than we know what to do with. They're just too big for us. We cannot overcome them." But Joshua and Caleb, they stood by God and wanted to do what God wanted them to do. Moses was a man who became strong. Moses was a man at 40 years of age when he killed an Egyptian, buried him in the sand. Then he ran when he was known. Then at 80 years old, God called him to lead the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, and he used to live there. God does strange things, don't he? God gave Moses much strength, much ability. And Moses was able then to lead the Israelites out of the land of Egypt. Moses was the one who spoke to Joshua and tell him to be strong in the Lord, because Joshua was going to take over the leadership after he was taken home. And then Joshua spoke to the people of Israel how that they ought to be strong and how that they ought to always follow the commandments that God gave them. That's what we preached about last Sunday evening. These are all Old Testament people. You might think that they're different somehow, but they're not the same. They're just exactly like we are. Joshua and Caleb, they were men just like we are. The other 10 spies were men just like we are. But we need to be strong in the Lord and not fall away at all. We're living now in New Testament times. It's no different now than it ever was. We need to be strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord, not weak. Rather, we need to be strong in the Lord. At least, that's what it says in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 13. And I think it's particularly interesting here to notice this. Pardon me, I said second. It's 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 13. When it said, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." It's amazing that God used Paul to speak to the Corinthian church in the book of 1 Corinthians and told them to be strong. It's amazing. Let's go, Lord, in a word of prayer, if you would. Our precious Father, I pray, Lord, today that you might bless your word. Help us, Lord, to have confidence and faith and hope and trust in you. I pray, Lord, that you might stand before us, that you might open your word to us, that we might understand it and we might be clarified by it all. Lord, I pray that you might be those who are lost, that they might see the need of Christ. They might come to him tonight in saving faith. Forgive us for our sins. Watch over us, O Father, and bless us. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. It's amazing when you think about who could be strong. 1 Corinthians is written to the Corinthian church by the Apostle Paul about all their problems. The Corinthian church had a ton of problems, had a massive amount of difficulties. You can read how that Paul preached to them throughout this whole book. It's an amazing book to read, a book of rebuke, a book of, I was going to say, it's almost chastisement just to read it and to see the things that believers can be guilty of. It's amazing to think that this is still a church, all the things that they were doing. But in the end of this book, 1 Corinthians, Paul writes to these people and he says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." These are all admonitions to this weak church. This weak church that was full, running over with sin. I think it's amazing. God is not through with us until we die. I think it's amazing. The phrase, "quit you like men," the Bible uses that in verse number 13, doesn't mean we are ever going to quit or be afraid when confronted with the truth. He is saying that you need to pay attention to the truth. And if the truth is against you, what should you do with that? The best thing you can possibly do when the truth is against you is to say, I'm wrong. That's what we need to say. I'm wrong. I know that sometimes children, they try to be grown up. And with children, oftentimes it is, when they've done something wrong, it's always somebody else's fault. Right? You know what we are? We are children of faith. We are children of the Lord. We belong unto Him. When we do something that's wrong, it'd be better if we just simply say, whoops, I messed up. I'm wrong. Lord, would you please forgive me? Help me do right. I know to a child that seems an idiotic thing to say. It seems rather that we need to defend ourselves, right? And say, I'm wrong. I'm a little bit wrong. No. Don't look at that. It's somebody else. I did that because of somebody else. It's always somebody else's fault, right? To a child, it's always somebody else that did it. Sometimes I tell you what, I tried this one time. I won't try it again. I tried when I was young, I tried to blame my parents. I found out right off, I don't think I won't do that again. Not again. I would always try to blame my friends. I remember one time I was told very plainly, in front of my friends, you are accountable to me, not your friends. All right? And today, I'm an adult, I think. I'm accountable to God. I need to quit acting like a child. I need to grow up. I need to be strong in the faith. The Bible says, be strong. This little word, be strong, that does not mean strong in the flesh. That has nothing to do with that at all. Can a person that is weak in the flesh be strong in the Lord? Say yes. They can be. They can be very strong in the Lord. It does not mean, in verse number 13, when it says be strong, that you need to be stronger than everybody else. It doesn't mean that. You need to be as strong as God wants you to be. Be strong in the faith of the Lord. Be strong for Him. Be settled in the Word of God. Somebody would say, I had a person a long time tell me this. I don't know about eternal security. Whenever you don't know about a subject, what should you do about that? What should you do about that? If you don't know about eternal security or not, what you need to do is to read about it in the Bible. You need to read it. One time, I was having trouble with that. And so I took a piece of paper and I drew a line right down the middle of that piece of paper. And on this side, I put, as a heading, I put, I can be lost after I'm saved. On this side, I wrote, I'm saved eternally. Simple, right? You say, well, you had no answers at all on this side. Oh, I did too. I had a lot of passages on this side that I had doubts about. But on the other hand, there was many that said I was saved eternally. I wrote those down on this side. I had a lot of those. Actually, I had more of those than did over here. But these over here, they really trouble me. I had to study those things to get it figured out as to what
I needed to believe. I needed to trust the Lord. And I found out that I was saved eternally. I found that out not by feelings. I found that out by reading the Bible. I remember one time that I was studying about the age of the earth, and I was taught when I was a young person in church, because they believed that, I'm not sure they believed in 6,000 year earth or not, but they believed that the Lord created the world. I know they believe that. But I remember a science teacher telling me when I was in about the 10th or 11th grade, he told the whole class, he said, "This, I'm going to tell you this just for some of you people that will go to college. If you're not going to college, you don't need to write this down, but I won't tell you this truth. Evolution is a lie." He told me that, plain out. He was a science teacher. He told me evolution is a lie. So I wasn't going to college. So I wrote that down. Evolution is a lie, big, big letters. He never put that on a test. I thought he would. He didn't. That's why I wrote it down. I was going to pass the test. But I found out when I went to college, I did not intend to go, but I did go, that they taught evolution as a fact. Be settled. Let God settle you. Years later, when I was pastoring, I began to study about the age of the earth. That question came up. How do you know how old the world is? How do you know that? You say, well, the Bible says that. Where does it say that? Can you point to me in the passage that and tell me where the Bible says how old it is? Is there a verse in the Bible that says it's 6,000 years old? There's not. But you can take the Scriptures and rightly divide the Scriptures and come to the conclusion that the world is 6,000 years old. You can do that. You ought to do that. If you haven't already done that, you ought to do that yourself and understand that the world is 6,000 years old. You ought to be strong in the Lord. It doesn't mean that you've got to be outspoken. It doesn't mean that you've got to be brash or belligerent or loud. But you need to be strong in the Lord. Notice also, we've read one passage, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 13, which says, "Watch you, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong." That verse is teaching, his first verse is teaching that in the New Testament that we ought to be strong in the Lord. But notice another one. In Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10. Ephesians 6 and verse number 10. The Bible in this place says this. As Paul writes to the church of Ephesus, as he ends up his discussion with them, Ephesians 6 and verse number 10, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Now, that verse is absolutely the truth. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. The Bible then says in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God. Put it all on. I tell you what, the part you will leave out is the part the devil will attack you on. The part that you simply don't want to get into. The part you have a question about is, it can settle you. If you will ask God to help you understand the truth of the Word of God. God will do that. He'll let you read the Bible. He'll open it up to you as never before. And you'll be so excited about it, it will change your life. Because God is real. I mean, He is real. The Bible says in verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Don't leave any of it at home. Don't leave any of it on the shelf. But you take it, you put it on, and you use it for God's own sake. He'll use you. Spiritual strength is what we're talking about. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13, the Bible said, be strong in the Lord. In Ephesians 6, in verse number 10, it says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. He's not talking there about how that you need to be a muscle man. He's not talking about that. Or a muscle woman. I'm not talking about that at all. Spiritual strength comes from the Lord. Confidence in the Lord comes because He has given you the faith with which to believe in Him. You might be able to run a marathon, but that doesn't mean you got any spiritual strength at all. It doesn't mean that at all. You might be able to lift lots of weights, but that doesn't mean you got spiritual strength at all. You could be a child and have more spiritual strength than an adult. Understand? You need to exercise that. If you're going to grow a good physical body, how are you going to do that? You're going to exercise. You'll do that a little bit at a time. You'll do that. I tell you, it takes a long time. It takes a long time to get this body in any kind of shape at all. After I had the heart attack, and they put the stent in, and then I had to go to exercise classes. I didn't have to go, but they wanted me to go, so I went. It was free, after all, so I went. And I learned there, boy, that was different. Put me on a treadmill, going about 1 mile an hour for 10 minutes. That's what I was doing when I got done with that. Had a little bit of weight. Just a little bit of weight. Didn't move much at all. That was an eye-opener for me as to how feeble that I really was. We need to see our feebleness before we can ever grow up in the Lord. We need to see how inadequate we are before we can ever understand how good God is. As long as I think I'm good enough, I don't need the Lord, right? And sometimes believers think they're good enough the way it is. That's why I'm saying you need to get into the Word of God and study the Word of God to learn it. You can teach others. Now, I'm able to walk on the treadmill for 30 minutes. God has let this body that I now live in, it's let it have a little bit of strength. I put the elevation up, walk at 3.5 miles an hour for 30 minutes. I lifted a weight. You can't tell, I know. I'm still pot-bellied and ugly. I know that. But I still lift weights and all that kind of stuff. But God has helped me. But I'm able to walk on the treadmill simply because it took me a while to get from going 1 mile an hour to 3.5 miles an hour. I mean, it takes a while. How long does it take? I tell you, it takes long enough to get real tired. One time I figured it out. One time. It took about 3 years. If I hadn't been so old, it wouldn't take me so long. But I was pretty old. It takes a while. You know, it takes a while to learn the things that God wants you to learn. You might say, I've got plenty of time to do what God wants me to do. Well, when are you going to start? You know what? You don't know how much time you got left. You really don't know. You might be young and healthy. You might be in the prime of life, but you don't know how much time you've got. I read the other day in the news that the deaths of people age 18 to 40 was high. Many of those people were active in sports, but they go out on the playing field and suddenly just kill over dead. I don't know if it's always been that way or not. I have no idea. But I'm telling you, you don't know how long you've got to live on this earth. You don't know. Now is the time, while you have the right use of your mind, to take the Word of God and to be strong in the Lord. Not just physically strong. We're not talking about that. We're talking about being strong in the Lord. It's time. Because time is all you have. And you don't get a playback or a do-over. You get one time through this world. It's time for you to be strong in the Lord. David was a young man when he defeated Goliath. And he only had to defeat him one time. That's the way our victories are. They're given to us one at a time. And as we perform those duties that God wants us to do, then He will give us more. You cannot expect God to give you anything if you don't exercise what it's already given you. You cannot expect Him to give you any more. Personally, I want more. I want more of the blessings of God. But in order for me to get more, I've got to use what He's already given to me. God will do that for us. He really will. A man could be strong in the Lord, but a woman can be stronger in the Lord than a man can. On the other hand, a man might be strong in the flesh, but weak in the Lord. That's the way it is. You need to read the Word of God. And nobody can read the Word of God for you. You must read it for yourself. You must do that. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Verse number 1. What are you supposed to do with all of the strength that you have? Here's what Paul writes to Timothy. As you gain strength in the Lord, as you are able to grow up, as you develop spiritual muscles, we're not talking about physical muscles at all. We're talking about spiritual muscles. As you grow up in the Lord, here's what you do. 2 Timothy 2, verse number 1. Paul writes, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So Paul is telling Timothy, you need to be strong in the grace. That's the what God gives. God can give you more than you ever thought about. God can open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. He wants you to have that. But notice, verse number 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." Look at that. That's what we ought to do. Not only do we need to be strong in the Lord, but we need to teach others that they can be strong in the Lord. You know why? So they can teach others. Guess what? We won't be here all very much longer. I'm talking about me. I need to live my life in such a way that I could be strong in the Lord and I could teach you to be strong in the Lord. That after I'm gone, after I've died, that you, while I'm living and after I'm dead, that you will be able to take the Word of God and teach others the same thing. That's what Paul said. He was right. Paul is absolutely right in verse number 1, in chapter 2. He says this, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace," that's what God freely gives, "that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses," not just one or two, but many witnesses, you've heard me say this, "the same commit thou to faithful men." See what he's talking about? He said, I've taught you, Timothy, now you teach others the same thing I taught you. That's what he's saying. As startling as it may be, your legacy will live after you. Your legacy. And what is your legacy? Is your legacy one that you are a believer, that you trust God, that you love God, that you dedicate yourself to doing what God wants you to do? Is that your legacy? Or is that what you want people to think it is? You need to be right before Almighty God. Remember this. All of us are going to stand before God and give an account to Him for our lives. Every one of us. We're accountable to God. And what we have is a very important thing. He's told us this truth. Second Timothy 2, verse 2 through 4 states this, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore," the word therefore is there for a reason, "thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life." Read that. What does that say? No man that warreth, no person that warreth correctly, entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. I've been chosen to salvation. There is no doubt in my mind about that. Jesus Christ has saved my unworthy soul for a reason. Jesus Christ wants me to be a witness of His glory. Therefore, verse number 4, I cannot entangle myself. The word entangled is an interesting word, because it's like you're in a briar patch and you can't get out. It's like you get yourself amongst things that you cannot get out of those things at all. You're just entangled in it. You're all tied up. No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life. The Bible says very plainly, what God wants you to be, what God wants me to be, is fixed on Him. I don't have time to get involved with the affairs of this life. The Apostle Paul, when he preached, how political was he? Was Paul a political preacher? Paul lived in the time of the Romans. Paul lived just shortly before Israel went into captivity, and they were dispersed throughout this whole world. But what was Paul's message when he went to the Gentiles? What was his message? It was not political. He was not interested in that. He was interested in proclaiming the truth of the Word of God. That's what he did. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. I am a soldier of the Lord. That's it. Look in two places. First of all, in the book of Luke, chapter 1, and verse number 80. Luke, chapter 1, and verse number 80. And then, look in Luke 2, and verse number 40, and compare these two verses. They're speaking about two different people. First, let's read Luke, chapter 1, and verse number 80. The Bible says here, and the child grew and waxed strong in spirit and was in the deserts until the day of his showing unto Israel. Who is he talking about? You can read the context and you can clearly see that it's talking about John the Baptist. All right? That's who he's talking about. The Bible said that the child grew. He waxed strong in the spirit. The word waxed means it grew a little bit at a time. And that's the way we grow in the Lord. A little bit at a time. As we study the Word of God, if you don't study the Word of God, you'll never do this. But as you study the Word of God, you will, every day, you will come across scriptures that will mean something to you. It'll be a blessing to your soul. It'll be a blessing to your heart, to your life. It'll be you want to get a hold of that, and you want to tell others about it too. Wax strong in spirit. How did he wax strong? Is that talking about muscles? No muscles involved. It didn't mean he's exercising at all. It meant that he waxed strong in the spirit. He was studying the Word of God. He was dedicating himself to doing what God wanted him to do. And he was in the deserts until the day of his showing unto Israel. Now read in the book of Luke chapter 2 and verse number 40. And the child grew and waxed strong in spirit. What? It's a repeat. The same thing. The same thing is happening, but to a different person. Verse number 40. The Bible says it like this. Filled with wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. Luke chapter 2 is talking about Jesus. He grew. And he also waxed strong in the spirit. I think it's a reference there as to how we ought to grow up. It's not wrong not to know anything. It's not wrong. It's wrong to keep not knowing something. It's not wrong to be ignorant, but it's wrong to be continually ignorant. Right? Neither John the Baptist nor Jesus continued to be unlearned. The Bible said concerning Jesus in verse 39, verse number 40, and the child grew, he grew up physically, and waxed strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. That's different than what it says about John the Baptist. Absolutely so. But they both increased in spirit. Have you grown in the spirit since you've been saved? Are you the same person that you used to be? All of us are different. And I trust that each one of us has grown somewhat in the Spirit of God. Look in the book of Romans, chapter number 4. Romans chapter 4. And we talk about another scripture here, just about being strong in the Lord. Romans chapter 4. And verse number 18. This passage is speaking about Abraham. Abraham was a sinner, a saved sinner. And yet, Abraham grew strong in faith. Read this. Romans chapter 4, verse number 18. Who against hope believed in hope. I hope we've got that underlined. Verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope. You might say, you're supposed to believe in God. You're supposed to believe in Christ. Abraham believed against hope in hope. Verse number 18. That he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he was strong in faith. He wasn't weak, but he didn't know. He did not know what was going to happen. Abraham, when he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, he did not know what God was going to do, and neither do you know, neither do I know. Collectively, this church does not know what God will do with us in the next 20 minutes. He hadn't told me nothing. I think he's in charge, right? That's why he hadn't told me anything. He said in verse number 19, I don't think I finished verse 18. Let's read verse 18 again. Who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. Abraham considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, who's he? That's God had promised. He, that is God, was well able to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. I won't correct myself. In verse 21, the last he, I said, that referred to God, but it didn't refer to God. I think the last he refers to Abraham. Let me tell you why. In verse number 19, the Bible said he was not weak in faith. He was strong in faith. He considered his not his own body, now dead. He's about 100 years old. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Abraham did not stagger, but he believed the promise that God had given him about the child that his wife Sarah would bear. She was past the age of bearing a child. Abraham considered his body also dead. Neither one of them was able. But the Bible said that he staggered not. He staggered not at the promise. The promise of God through unbelief. He didn't back up at that at all. But was strong in faith, giving glory to God. What he's saying there is that God can do the impossible. God can do the impossible. Can God save a soul? He saved me. So that's not impossible. You're saved. I know it is. But when I was lost, it was impossible. What about the one you love? Can God save them? He's the only one that can. He can touch your heart. He can touch their heart. This is what Abraham found. And what's amazing about this is that Abraham was fully persuaded that what he had promised, Abraham could then do. And therefore, it was imputed to him for righteousness. God can do more than we ever thought, but God will use us. It's easy to believe that God can do anything, but it's hard to believe that God can use us. Am I right? Say, God can't use me. Why not? You're here. You're hearing the message. There must be a reason. God must have something on his mind that he wants to use you for. Right? Think about it. Let God bless you in your life. Abraham, he had the promised seed. There's two things in my mind. One's that clock. And the other one is this. I'm trying to remember if Abraham saw results after Isaac was born in Jacob. I'm having a brain freeze there. I can see it on my paper at home, but I don't remember if Abraham died before Jacob was born or not. Do you remember? Oh, so we're all in la-la land. Okay, I don't. I'll have to look that up. I know where it is. It's right there in that book entitled The 6,000 Year Earth. I know where it is. So I might look that up after a while. Anyway, I want you to know that we ought to be strong in the Lord, not in ourselves. Not trusting ourselves, but be strong in the Lord, knowing that He is able to supply everything for us as we live. If you're here tonight and you're lost, the only hope you have is the Lord. I want you to listen to what's being said. Because the only hope you have is that Jesus Christ will give you life. He's the only way you have. And He can give you life. He can give it to you full. He can give it to you free. He supplies all that for you. And I pray that the Lord will make it real to you in this night. In the meantime, remember the messages about being strong in the Lord. By the way, there is about 10 more of these. I don't know if I'll go over those or not. I don't know. But we'll see how the time progresses in that. But we need to be strong in the Lord and not weak in the faith at all. All right? All right, let's have a word of prayer, if you would, and then we'll have a song. Our Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You might accept this word. Lord, I pray that You might use it for Your sake. And Lord, I pray that You might help us that are so weak in the faith. And Lord, I pray that You might help us. Lord, oftentimes we want to see before we believe. Lord, help us that we might be able to be like Abraham, that we believe before we see. I pray, Lord, You might give us that kind of faith. We might trust in You. And we might be what You want us to be. I pray, Lord, for our church, that You might bless there. I pray, Father, that You just touch hearts. Help us to be what You want us to be every day. Forgive us for our sins and watch over us today. Help those that are lost, that they might come to You in saving faith. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.